Our reading is from Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days? These Emmaus disciples are disturbed. It's a difficult time for them. They thought that they had lost their Lord and Savior to death, the prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all people, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was going to redeem Israel. Of course, he's standing there with them, walking with them. We, like them, don't always recognize the need for Christ's presence. Sometimes for us it's not like them. It's daytime. Things are sunny. But in the artificial light of this world, the need for Christ and his abiding presence can be ignored, yet only for a time. Like those Emmaus disciples, when it is evening, when we're in darkness, that is sickness, or despair, or even death, the statement, "Abide with me," in the hymn, resonates with us. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. It's those kind of times that we need that abiding light of Christ. We need his gracious presence. God's presence and his grace are bound together. Grace is God's gift, his gift-giving, which takes us back into his light, the light of the cross. God's grace faced down the evil one, the tempter. The glorious grace of Christ crucified defeated evil and devil. Even when the sun shines and the things are peachy, we still yearn for grace, this light of God. There is still darkness within us, even when it seems light out, and there's darkness without in the world. There's only one light that can banish that darkness, Christ. And it is in his cross, as the last stanza just illustrated for us, that God's gracious, brilliant defeat comes to enemies. It's the cross that breaks through the gloom. Life's journey is full of stumbling blocks, of darkness. Our heart is full of temptations to sin. We walk in danger of slipping all the way. Only one whose light can guide us through the well-fought fight, ending the warfare. He is our captain, leading us through the darkness. He fights on our behalf. The only defeat of Satan is by him. He is the victor already, because he already won at the cross. And we, who are in him, abiding with him, already have victory too, there at the cross. The beauty of being in Christ is receiving the light that is his gifts. Every day with Christ is Christmas. We're always receiving. That's why we need to be with him, to be in communion with him, to share with him. He gives us himself, and we share in him. We share in his sufferings, that we would also share in his glory. To share is to give. That's why we constantly go to his sanctuary, to hear his word and to receive his body and blood. He is already out in front of us in the battle, and we know that we will stumble and fall, we'll lose our way, we'll be haunted by our sins, especially at night and when we're near death. But Christ is the light in that darkness. In his service, he gives us precious treasures. We receive the light of forgiveness. He heals us. He cleanses us. And he abides with us, taking us into himself. Because Jesus is the changeless one, as the fourth stanza said, therefore also his gifts are changeless. They abide forever. Their light shines. The brightness of his mercy, forgiveness, bloodshed, and what he has done for you always banishes darkness and will forever. But so not only does that light shine now and into eternity, but it has been shining ever since the foundation of the world. The incarnation, the enfleshment of Jesus, was the light shining in the darkness Isaiah spoke of. That is to say, it was always God's plan for you. Ever since our first father, Adam, we've been broken people, dwelling in darkness and in the shadow of death. But Christ was promised even to Adam, the eternal light, who would brighten even life's worst moments. Especially as we come near to our Lord's birthday, we see that light, born of Mary, to break through the darkness and take us to everlasting light. Abide with him is a hymn about death, to be sure. Hold thou thy cross before my dying eyes. But the cross is shining even in the midst of that darkness. So it is about light, light that comes from Christ. For it is in death where Christ abides with us and shines in us. Christians have the capacity to see with eyes enlightened what is truly happening in death. Yes, there is loss. Yes, death is not the way that God created it to be. But in Christ's cross, death has been transformed by his death. It's no longer an end, but a beginning. The entrance into God's eternal reality. Think again of Pastor Light as he sang "Abide with Me" to his congregation on that day of his farewell. No doubt he was suffering with pains and tears, the weight of tears and bitterness from his tuberculosis. He never did make it to Italy for recuperation. He knew he was dying. And even in that weakness, singing this song, "Abide with Me," to his congregation for the first time, he saw, as he proclaimed, Christ's triumph. In his suffering, he was enlightened to see triumph at the cross. And then as his death, which was coming just 3 weeks later, he knew he had victory. This is the heart of the gospel, that Christ would suffer and then enter into glory, and you would suffer and then enter with him into glory. That's why he could say with Job, death has no sting, grave no victory. Pastor Light had the triumph of Christ already, even as he stood there dying, singing that song with dying breath. So also it is for every saint of God. Death already has given way to resurrection and eternal life. When did this happen for you? When did you receive this gift of light and life, immortal? But in your baptism. For it is in baptism where you were joined to the eternal one, the light of Christ. We're no longer living in a body that simply decays and dies. Even this body will be remade on the last day. And that already was begun when you went through the waters, God making you as he intended from the beginning. Paul says that your bodies are now like Christ's body, glorified. That is to say, your death, well, you got over with it in baptism. That's why you make the sign of the cross of the dying at the beginning of each service. And so also I do upon the dying at their funeral. For the dying had already been done in baptism. That old flesh buried in the waters. And so baptism is when your life becomes part of the life of Christ. And his light becomes your light. It's when Christ began to abide in you. Despite sin and darkness still sticking to you, the light of Christ overcomes. He is joined to you. He suffered for the sin we now commit. He forgives by the blood he shed at the cross. The cross is the moment the heavens are opened and light shines forth into the gloom. And then at his resurrection, as with these Emmaus disciples, we see dawn breaking and even heaven being opened up to us, eternal dwellings. So it was for Jesus. Even at his baptism, what happened? The heavens opened. And then also at his transfiguration, where we saw his glory revealed, and he stood next to Moses and Elijah. And now, as he walks to Emmaus with those disciples, his resurrection has been revealed. Heaven is now on earth in Jesus, in his person. He's fulfilling that ultimate yearning of everyone that is to be, to commune, to join with God. And that happened for you already, and still is the case. You are baptized into him, and he abides with you. Now, if you look to your lives, though, it seems everything testifies against this eternal truth. That's what the hymn so beautifully captures. It captures our emotions, our feelings, those of the reality we see, we feel, we experience. We sang with the hymn writer, "Fast falls the eventide. Other helpers fail and comforts flee. Change and decay all around I see." And yet, he also confesses the truth of the scriptures. We long for the presence of Christ bodily. We hope for the friend of sinners, the helper of the helpless. And it has happened. Christ now abides with you in his word and in his gifts, in his life, in his death. As Christmas approaches, we always ask this question, why did Jesus become man? Why did he take on our flesh? The answer is so that we would become like him and receive his gifts. See, he would experience in the flesh everything that we experience. He was tempted as we were. He hungered and thirsted as we do. And for we who are baptized into Christ, we know that everything that he suffered, we suffer, he has suffered too. We know the kind of melancholy that we have, he had as well. His sadness is shared by ours, by us, and ours by him. He was lonely at the cross. Why? My God, have you forsaken me? Sometimes we cry out the same. And so he experienced what it means to be human. And yet he did it without sin. Thus, sinners who have no idea what it means to be whole and perfect learn as we abide with him. For he conquered for us loneliness, melancholy, suffering, even death, by his life, his suffering, his death. And because they're conquered in him, we receive friendship, joy, patience, hope, and life. To abide in Christ is to be fully human, to know what it's like to be holy, to dwell in the light, to know what it means to be what God has created us to be. To be joined to Christ in holy baptism is to share with Christ in everything. Yes, in suffering and in darkness and even sadness, but also sharing in him, in his light and his every gift. For Jesus is in us and we are in him. And in life and in death, it is Christ who abides with us, fulfilling our deepest longing, our greatest hope. We have him now in baptism and in his supper, and we will have him finally in the company of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.